Thank you for joining us. The Dacus Report is on the air, ready to defend your religious freedom, your parental rights, and other civil liberties. And now, with the latest information, is your host, the president of the Pacific Justice Institute, Brad Dacus.
Folks, there's something very serious happening on the West Coast that you need to know about, and it's going to be impacting children across the United States, and yet there's something you can do to protect your children. We're going to talk about that in the second segment. But the first half of the show, I want to interview our attorney in our Seattle office, located in Washington State, about something very serious happening there with regard to basic rights of free expression and be able to specifically share the gospel. Welcome to the program. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us, Jorge Ramos.
Thank you, Brad.
You are a full-time attorney, staff attorney, for the Pacific Justice Institute, representing and defending religious freedom, parental rights, the sanctity of human life there in the state of Washington. You're located in the Seattle area, correct?
Correct.
Now, there's something that's taken place there in the Seattle area that we have a very serious concern about, because an individual's free speech rights to publicly share their faith is under attack. Tell me more.
Yes, this is one of those cases where law enforcement made an outrageous accusation. Our client was outside of a Planned Parenthood using his voice. He did not even have an amplification device and was cited for what is called a unnecessary noises charge.
Okay, now I want to stop right there, because you said something very significant people really need to digest. He did not have a voice amplifier at all. It's just his voice speaking, proclaiming, and that was enough for him to have a criminal charge brought against him?
Yes, the shock that you have in your voice was actually similar to what the judge at the hearing had when he asked the prosecutor, are you admitting that no amplification device was used? And sadly, they had to admit it. And at that point, I felt very confident that the judge was going to side with us.
Right. Okay, now, why were they attacking him? I mean, if he was speaking something else that was, you know, say excited about his new Yamaha motorcycle, or excited about Bluebell ice cream, probably wouldn't have the same result, or would we?
No, I mean, the big thing in this case was the location of the Planned Parenthood. It was located near a trailer park, but our client was very intelligent to give his sermons or his preaching on a public street, where he has every legal right to do so.
Okay. So, and if people understand, public sidewalks, that's protected speech. It's called a traditional public forum, legally speaking, but it's a place where you have total First Amendment protection, free speech protection, to be able to share your faith, to pronounce your faith with reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions. That's fine. But I guess if you were at a public sidewalk and the public sidewalk was in a residential community, it was 3 a.m. in the morning, and you're screaming your lungs out in front of someone's home, that would be different, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about someone in a public sidewalk on a public street where their voice is not targeted at a particular individual's residence, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so these charges were brought. We defended him. You defended him in court. Where are we now with this case?
We got the ruling a couple weeks ago, and the judge did decide to throw it out.
Okay, fantastic. Well, do you think the city has learned their lesson, or did they apologize afterwards and said, oh gosh, yeah, we were wrong, don't have to worry about us again? Jorge, tell your client he's, totally protected. What exactly was their response to this decisive ruling against them?
I'm still waiting for my apology, but I don't think it's going to come. Do think that this was a case probably of a lone complainant who repeatedly called the police. The police felt like their hands were tied and wanted to, I guess, stop the harassment from this citizen who is might be known to be anti-Christian. And okay. we hope my client plans to continue his preaching, and he will follow all our recommendations to ensure that nothing like this happens again while he is complying with his legal rights.
Right, and he was protected, and what he did was legal, but there are some points that we have for people in his circumstance to help shore up his protection and, you know, should he be challenged. But he was protected. We won the case. The problem is the police should realize that if someone's complaining about this, you know, their hands are first tied by the Constitution. And that's where they went wrong. Instead of giving in to this guy who was complaining, they should have realized, hey, you know what, sir, you may not like this speech, but this is protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. And we will not go against the Constitution. Now, if they continue to do this, Jorge, if the city or government continues to violate such First Amendment rights, is it possible that they could actually end up having to pay monetary damages and have to learn a lesson if they do this continually and show that they're learning their lesson?
Sure. I mean, if he continues to follow all our recommendations and he is cited again, we may have to consider, you know, suing the city for harassment or challenging the law completely. The judge only decided to rule on its application to our client, but it was clearly shown to be unconstitutional in general, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, I know the general rule is when there's just one person, one circumstance, it's really hard to sue for harassment for monetary damages. But folks, if you see something like this happening on a repetitive basis, whether or not you've been represented by Pacific Justice Institute or someone else, and it happens again, contact us. Because we will hold local governments accountable to the greatest extent possible, and that includes those who can do this or who are doing this over a repeated basis, a continual basis. You know, I know, you know, we at the Pacific Justice Institute have represented people who are openly proclaiming and preaching the gospel in public places across the United States. You know, Jorge, as you know, I've got a case pending right now in the state of Texas of all places, El Paso, Texas, to be specific. I won a case in San Antonio. I had a client there for Pacific Justice Institute. We defended him. He was preaching the gospel. We got those charges dismissed. But right now as we speak, we have a preacher who has his master's in divinity. Folks, he's has his master's also in philosophy. He's very intelligent. He went to a Southern Baptist seminary out of Franklin, Kentucky. And he is being prosecuted for preaching the gospel lovingly, openly, logically, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ on a public sidewalk in El Paso. And we are hoping that they're going to drop the charges. But if not, you know, I'll be defending him in court coming up this March. So please keep that in your prayers. And folks, if you're not receiving our case updates about these and other cases that we have going on, we have like about 40 cases, I understand, Jorge, in active litigation right now as we speak, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so we've got lots of cases ongoing right now as we speak, not just on the West Coast, but in other places like Texas and in other places as well. And we're handling these cases. And if you'd like to keep up with these cases, you can pray for us or perhaps support our work and get involved in these cases. Go to our website. It's simply pji.org. That's P for Pacific, J for Justice, I for Institute.org, pji.org. And we also have it in Spanish as well, our website and these updates. So people should be encouraged to go to this website and get this information in Spanish. You know, Jorge, could you mention briefly to those who speak Spanish out there the importance of staying involved? Just in Spanish, briefly, could you mention why they need to get involved and get this information?
Sure, Brad. Pues les quiero decir a todos que el Pacific Justice Institute los está apoyando en todo lo que pues están sufriendo, y si necesitan ayuda para tener tu fe con conveniencia y no tener susto de las personas, llámanos o vea el nuestro sitio web, los podemos ayudar de California hasta Washington.
Yes, and Oregon too. So,
Oregon.
Yes, thank you so much, Jorge, for your work there in the Seattle office. And I just wanted people to hear that in Spanish because people need to understand that we have the resources and the individuals and the people to really reach out to the Spanish-speaking community. And they need assistance, like these opt-out forms, like you mentioned, and other resources to really help them to get what they need to make sure their rights are protected and that their children are protected and people proclaiming the gospel and their faith are protected as well. So folks, get involved. Go to our website, pji.org, P for Pacific, J for Justice, I for Institute.org, or you can go to pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org as well. You know, we can be complacent, folks. We can just sit back and say, oh, that's a shame. But we need to be involved. We need to be praying. We need to know what's going on. You can't really pray if you don't know what's going on. And this is the opportunity by getting our Legal Insider newsletter and lifting up these people in prayer who are under attack, under fire, across the United States and are needing assistance. And if you need assistance, go to our website as well, pgi.org, and there you can also request help. We take a look at every single one, and we're sort of unique in that we work hard to make sure that everyone gets help, that no one's left on the side of the road when it comes to defense of religious freedom, parental rights, or the sanctity of human life. The point is, we all need to stand together. We need to work hard to support those who are making a difference. So once again, go to our website, pji.org, pji.org.
Pacific Justice Institute is here for you, defending faith, family, and freedom all without charge. We're almost entirely supported by concerned individuals like you who believe in our work. We invite you to prayerfully consider joining our support team by making a one-time donation or becoming a monthly financial support partner. Visit our website at pji.org and join our team today.
And folks, if you'd like to support the Pacific Justice Institute on either a one-time or a monthly basis, we would greatly appreciate that. And we have wonderful resources on our website to show that appreciation. First off, you can sign up to get our weekly Legal Insider newsletter. This is really inspiring. It also shows you what we need you to pray for. So it's very important for that purpose as well. But also, we have other resources like opt-out forms. We're going to talk about that in the second half of the show. The importance of these opt-out forms. And we also have even a book, Reclaim Your School. You can download that for free. And this is our showing of appreciation for those of you who choose to support the Pacific Justice Institute, be a part of our team. Now, we have with us here in the studio one of our full-time staff attorneys who actually heads up our Orange County, Southern California office at Trinity Law School. Welcome to the show, Michael Peffer. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Okay, great. Well, now, Michael, we have something that's come up that I know people across the country are going to want to know about, because if we don't stop it, if parents aren't able to stop it or to do something to slow it down, we're going to see this spread all across the country. And what we're talking about is what we've just received from a contact at the Los Angeles County High School. And this information, what we understand, is sex ed curriculum material that they have been given to push out on students. And it's under, like, I guess, the California Healthy Youth Act. I have some serious questions about this. I know many parents do as well. What important lesson do we want to convey after looking at this material? What is our big concern about this very serious, quote, sex education material?
Yeah, thanks, Brad. The more I review about these things, the more I'm finding myself thinking we're going to lose a generation of kids are taught a way of thinking about sexuality that is completely different than anything we've ever had to come to grips with. So we know in California and all over the United States, PGI has been a leader in this, in creating opt-out forms.
Right.
Now, I know that in California, and this is very important for our California people, is that they have to opt out once per year. So I say, if you have not opted out yet, this curriculum is going to be set in action this semester, this spring semester.
This spring, not next fall, this spring.
This spring.
And they need to opt out every year.
Every year.
And that's because parents can just simply download it, check the boxes, send it to the school district, and boom, they're on notice. It's very empowering, very important. Would you recommend parents in all 50 states, though, take advantage of this opportunity?
Oh, they must. They simply must. This is not limited to California, although I think California is always a step ahead with this nonsense. But it's very important. And we have on our website what the requirements are for all 50 states. So they can get that. They just have to go, and it's there. It's a free resource.
Yeah, pji.org, folks. That's pji.org. So, or if you'd like a word, it could also be pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org. Two ways of getting there. Now, many people are wondering, like, okay, you talked about, you know, how we can protect our kids from this, but what exactly is it? How big of a monster is this? How big of a threat is this to the beliefs, values, and convictions of parents? I mean, some people are thinking sex education. Maybe it's just they don't like sex education. Okay, that may be fine, but I think it's good for my kids to learn about the birds and the bees. This isn't just about the birds and the bees. What is it that has such concern for us and so many parents who are learning about this?
Right, and this is very important because it's not just the birds and the bees. What this is a restructuring of the way people, in this case children, need to think about sexual relationships. So, for instance, they'll mention as a sort of side note, well, we realize that most people, their sexual conduct conforms with their biology. Again, this is not about the birds and the bees. So we know what that is, and we know how that is, I'd say, fairly advantageous, I guess, to have this kind of teaching in a school setting. But this is a wholesale restructuring of the way children are supposed to think about sexual relationships.
In what way?
So, for instance, the curriculum, if you will, about 150 pages, the curriculum mentions that while people look in the mirror, kids look in the mirror, and they see what their biological gender is.
Right.
And they... most people conform to that. Most people conform to what their biological gender.
Well, when you say conform, simply stated, so most boys know that there's ways that boys are supposed to conform to their gender, i.e. they don't wear dresses to school. Correct. And girls know that there's certain conformings to it. They don't go and use the boys' bathroom. I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
Right.
Really basic stuff. But you're saying that this curriculum material is not just talking about sex education now. It's going way off into promoting, actually not recognizing and promoting gender identity dysphoria by opening this up as a valid option for consideration of young children we're talking about, not even just high schoolers.
That's right. That's right. So it's not enough to say, well, most people, their body works the way they feel. So this all comes down to how they feel. But then the entire curriculum goes into how that it's all important what they feel inside rather than the biology.
So if they think of themselves as the opposite gender, they have this dysphoria, which is a mental condition, then they're supposed to embrace it according to this new curriculum, not get counseling, not talk it over with their parents, but actually embrace it and experiment. And what I think this is so concerning to me personally is I've heard from people in the transgender movement who are themselves transgender persons, and even they acknowledge that at the young age in elementary school, 70% of these children who have this dysphoria, if just left alone, will work through it by the time they get into adolescence. They'll work through it. They won't have a dysphoria anymore. And that's why even they have expressed concerns about school districts pushing these kids into the opposite sex bathrooms, letting them change clothes at school and boys put on dresses. And this is now erupting at a very fast clip across the United States, especially here on the West Coast, where most high schools now have at least one or two transgender persons openly living out this dysphoria. So this is not just a minor. This is a major. We've already seen it, and it's coming to a high school near you, no matter where you are in the country. And I think that's a pretty safe thing to say.
Yes.
And why we need to speak out about it. What are some of the other objections parents have?
Well, for instance, they do a role-playing event. So you can imagine, let's say a kid is in ninth grade. And boys at ninth grade, they're not all that comfortable with their sexuality, generally speaking.
Right.
They're learning. They're learning how to accept what their body does and
right.
how it reacts. Well, they are asked to role play various sexual situations like a same sex relationship. So you have two guys together and they'll have to role play, talk with one another about what it would be like to be sexually involved with someone of the same sex or that person
Whoa.
Wants you to.
Whoa. So you're saying they're being encouraged to role play same sex sexual relationships, role play probably transgender. Too?
Correct.
Yeah, this is outrageous because role playing is a part of the orienting process. It can be
right.
very, very harmful, especially in the ninth grade area. That's very, very concerning. I'm sure for a lot of parents, particularly those who have kids who are young and adolescent.
And I want to be clear here. It's role playing in the sense of it's. They're given a script, and they're supposed to act toward one another, the script. And I don't believe that there's any actual actions. I just want to be accurate. I don't want to be—
Oh, but just the script,
the
verbal,
script is,
back and forth. You know, that's what,
exactly.
That's exactly what I was thinking. But anyway, but even just the role-playing verbally with their mouth.
Yes.
Affirming things with their mouth.
Right.
And even scripturally, we know how significant that is, what comes out of our mouth and the impact it has on not only— others, but also ourselves and how we think and we see ourselves. So this is serious. We've got serious things happening. What is the bottom line with respect to the curriculum and what should parents be doing right now? This is very urgent, very important.
That's right. It is very important. And the bottom line is there's virtually no attention to traditional sexual relationships. There's virtually no attention to abstaining from sex while you're in high school until you're married, and nothing
that
like
that.
That
is a no-brainer.
Exactly.
Right. So that's
the huge, that's what this is. It's restructuring our children and what parents must do. I know in California, they must do it positively. That is, go and turn in this opt-out form every single year.
Yes.
So if you're not absolutely certain you've done it this year, you need to go down there right now because within the next couple of months, your child is going to be, your high school student, as a matter of fact, is going to be confronted with these issues.
Oh, yeah. This is outrageous, to say the least. And folks, if you're out there, you're listening to this broadcast, perhaps you're a grandparent, you have kids, grandkids, you're a parent, or you know of someone, be concerned. Care enough not only to download this opt-out form for you, but also for others. Forward to people in your email list this information. When you go to our website, webpage, you know, they'll have to fill in their information to be able to download this information. But forward this to them, forward this out, get it out to people in your church, your community. Children need to be able to be protected. A lot of parents, you know, for whatever reason, they have their children in public schools. Some school districts are more threatening than others across the country. But here on the left coast, you know, Sacramento to Oregon, where we have an office, to Seattle, where we have a full-time office, or anywhere in the country where we have hundreds of affiliate attorneys, this is a real problem. So go to the website and make a difference to stand up to this outrageous assault, this dangerous assault on our children across our country.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
Calvary Chapel of Lebanon, Oregon owns a summer campus, yet the county tax authorities informed the church that this property is no longer tax exempt. Well, Pacific Justice Institute is suing in tax court defending Oregon's church tax exemptions and parsonages for clergy.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Pacific Justice Institute invites you to join in the fight to protect our religious liberties. Consider volunteering in one of our California offices or become an affiliate attorney. Visit our website to find out more, pji.org. And while you're there, subscribe to our Legal Insider to keep updated on all of our current cases. Pacific Justice Institute. Together, we can make a difference.
So, folks, there you have it. It's our God-given freedoms we're talking about. Now, let's choose to keep them. I'm Brad Dacus with the Pacific Justice Institute. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening in today. To find out more about the Pacific Justice Institute or the Dacus Report, call 916-857-6900 or log on to pacificjustice.org.